Hi, happy Friday, everyone. I'm your host, Stacey DeSantis, and I'd like to welcome you to episode 218 of Live at the Hive. And today we have
Yagna
and Courtney Castle.
Okay, so we're going to be talking about the five steps to creating an e-commerce omni-channel strategy. And you might see me looking over to my right because that is one heck of a title. Courtney, what does it mean?
It's a mouthful. So what does that actually mean? So there are a lot of channels in 2022, from all of the social media channels you might have, to email, to your website. How do you put them all together so that people are going from browsing on Instagram to becoming a loyal customer of your online store? So that's kind of the omni-channel strategy. That's what that means in a nutshell, you know, putting all those channels at the right part of your funnel so that people are going through it logically and end up, you know, being a valuable, loyal customer of your brand and coming to your store, actually making the purchase. So yeah, I think that's, you know, that's what we've dumbed it down to in these five steps. It's a very large world, e-commerce, but we figure these are the five essential steps you need to take beyond just setting up a store. To actually have people coming and be successful with all the channels you have out there to access.
Yeah, because it can really seem overwhelming at first. Like, where do I focus my attention? How do I make sure that no matter how my customers are reaching me or finding out about me, that I'm there to serve them and offer them the exact same experience? So we're going to really dive into that today. But before we get started, just wanted to say hi to everybody that's joining us right now. So hey, April. Hey, Sachita. Hey, Pippa. Hey, Yvonne. Yeah, I think we've got a really great show coming up. So let's get into it, shall we?
Yeah, let's dive in.
Yep. All right. So Courtney, I'm going to throw this one over to you. You want to just dig into a little bit more of the weeds when it comes to the omni-channel strategy? Or
yeah, basically, we're going to go through just like the essentials that you need for this to put in place. But also when we talk about omni-channel strategy, it's a lot about giving the audience the right message at the right time. Because someone on social media who's just, you know, happens to see a reel, for example, is going to be at a very different point in your sales cycle than someone who's, you know, revisited a product page on your site for the third time, you know, because they're considering a purchase. So very different thoughts. You know, we'll get into that kind of see, think, do, care methodology that we like to talk about a lot on the show. But we just, we want to take it one step at a time so everyone can follow along and you can implement this for your own online store.
Exactly. Just want to give a shout out to Paige and Brandon for joining us.
Hey.
Hey, guys. All right. So step number one. Now, this is something that my team, the content team at Honeypot, it's first and foremost whenever we're building out any kind of strategy is understanding the customer journey. This should be first and foremost your very first step, because the way you're going to market to, let's say, an 80-year-old grandmother is a lot different than how you're going to market to a 30-year-old millennial. So understanding, you know, what channels are they on, what patterns, you know, how do they use social? Are they more responsive to email marketing? Is your user experience on your site really seamless? Like, understanding what those touch points are and how they're going to be interacting with your brand is first and foremost. So you need to take the personas that you've built for your brand and then actually take them through a prospective journey. So like you were just saying, Courtney, you know, very top of funnel, the C part, brand awareness part might be an Instagram reel or a Facebook video or something of that nature. And then understanding how you can take them from letting them know who your brand is, what kind of content or solution or very good nugget that you could give them in the think part of your funnel. And then also then being able to gradually pull them through to the do. And that's when you make the ask of the sale, right? So, but you can't I would recommend, or we would recommend, creating a customer journey that actually marks down those different parts of the funnel and understanding where your customers are most likely to enter, you know, and take it from there.
Yeah. And you would actually map that out using a tool. Like you would actually draw that out, right, Stacey? Yeah. It's just so people can see. We would use like Lucidchart or even just pen and paper, you know, and actually get down to it. You know your business and you typically know, depending on what product you sell, how people typically find you. You know, like obviously like a retail, like a decor product might be found differently than like financial services.
Exactly. So
that's, you know, you really got to dig into that. Like, you know, if you're selling decor products that are lovely, you know, Pinterest advertising and having a presence there should be an element of that for you, you know? So it's really, that's depending on what you sell. That's definitely a huge part of the journey. How do people end up making a purchase from you?
And if you're like us and you're a content creator, we're usually very visual individuals. So being able to visually see an overarching view of that, customer journey and really understanding those touch points, you might recognize a weakness in your existing funnel that you can go back in and actually optimize. So it's a great way to visually see what's happening with your customers in there as they make that journey through your funnel. And another tip, which is a quick one, is to use like different colored sticky notes and literally put it on a wall and just kind of like map it out that way, because you can easily move pieces. You can kind of, you know, I say here at the Hive, throw spaghetti at the wall to see what sticks and take it from there, and then make a more concrete piece that you can share with the rest of the team. So everybody's on the same page.
Definitely. Yeah. And would you say, like Yagna and Stacey, would you say this is the point where you would also pick and choose your channels as well? Because 100%. You can't really be everywhere at once, you know? So yeah.
100%. Because like, I wish we all had unlimited budgets, but we don't. Right. So you have to work smarter, not harder, and really understand where you should be investing those dollars. All right. Sure. Step number two, I'm going to pass it over to our friend Yagna to walk us through this piece.
Sure. So, first, we have to understand that creating an omnichannel experience is a slow process. So even though it means that you are like almost everywhere, but you don't have to be there at all at once, you'll get there in time. So it is important that you first focus on setting up your e-commerce store, and like you start with your website and then you nail those before getting or moving on to another platforms. So there are a few things to remember when you are like starting up your website for first time, or you already have an e-commerce store, but there are some things that you need to remember. For example, you are on the right platform. For example, if you are product based, or you should be on Amazon or Shopify for that matter. Also, make sure that you have proper tools and place to optimize your website. For example, you have all your automations in your place, and basically you are able to provide that personalized experience which you promise to your customers. And secondly, also make sure that you have a shoppable experience. Your customer is able to access your website to laptop or to mobile phone as well. And there are new features every now and then coming on different websites. Like you are able to offer customer support, live chat, 24/7 support. Those are really features which comes in handy. And lastly would be to look for different trends and compare volume of products for different promotional opportunities as well. Like every day something or new thing is coming up when it comes to trends. So these are some of the things which you need to keep in mind to provide a seamless and personalized experience to your customers.
Exactly. I think Pippa sums it up really well. The old adage, Rome wasn't built in a day.
Yes. Yeah. This is definitely like we have it as step two, but obviously setting up your e-commerce store is a huge task, a huge undertaking, but well worth it. You know, like Yagna just referenced, you know, making sure you have the proper tools in place from the get-go so that you can make those optimizations. Like if you don't have things like your Google Analytics properly integrated to show conversions and where they're coming from, or if you don't have things like a heat map, which shows where people are actually clicking on your website and why they might not be purchasing. You can't make changes to improve your website in the future without this information. So just take the time, like take a deep breath. You can build the store. You can always optimize it. You know, finished is better than perfect, as we say at the Hive. But it's a big undertaking, but well worth it to commit and make sure that customer journey is as smooth as possible.
Exactly. As April says here, there are a lot of details and steps. So while we've marked this as step number two, there we could list countless sub-steps under number two, but we're just taking everyone through very high level pieces that you need to think about. And that's why step number one was so important, the customer journey, because you can't build a program if you don't understand who your customers are first. So the way you may set up a store may be completely different if you don't understand if you're serving a B2C or B2B, or like, how is that going to all lay out? And those integrations that Yagna and Courtney just mentioned that you would put in your store are going to vary dependent on who the customer is. So
good. Definitely, Stacy. Yeah, I think if I had one tip for this step, it would just be consider which product best suits, or which platform best suits your product. Because there could be, you know, you could be an individual, you know, business owner who's creating like handcrafted jewelry on Etsy, you know, and so that would be better for you. Or you could be a very large retail chain who has thousands of SKUs, and you need to be looking at a more larger platform like Magento. Like there's lots of different e-commerce platforms. A lot of people, Shopify comes to mind when a lot of people think of that example. But just think about what you need. Do you need multiple currencies? Do you need, you know, is there a logistics element of it that's going to be particularly difficult for you? That's what we mean by like, perhaps we'll do a follow-up episode a little later about e-commerce stores specifically, but just do your research before committing to a platform.
Exactly. All right, let's get into step number three. Courtney, gonna pass this one over to you.
Sure. Yeah. Customer relationship management. So once your store is set up and you have those tools that are kind of for on-site optimization, like Google Analytics, heat maps, other things, you then need to look at to make sure that when someone does make a purchase or they come to your store, that there is a journey for them. And that's not just a dead end. Like, thanks for making a purchase. Bye. You know, that's kind of a very common mistake I think a lot of people make. There should be an automation sequence that pulls them deeper. Perhaps you thank them for making their purchase and then ask them, you know, you have new products being released this spring. Check which ones you'd be interested in, and like use it as an opportunity to collect a little more information about them, to personalize your messaging to them. And that's very heavily done with like email automation, but even on the other side, it could be done with, I know Yagna mentioned chatbots and things like that on your site, on social media. Just kind of look at the gaps and where something could be a dead end in your funnel, and make sure you're using the tools that already exist to bring them deeper and further.
Yeah, and would you not agree that like a CRM is a great tool to really organize your first party data that you're pulling in as well, especially now that it's becoming more and more prevalent and a must have versus a nice to have? You don't want to be like, oh, I've got to gather from my one program here, and I've got to gather, like, they're all coming into the same place. So you can organize them, you can nurture them, like you mentioned, and make sure that that's the care part. And then what we're going to get into with the C thing, do care. It's making sure that you're following up, you're getting those customer reviews. If they have questions or concerns about your product, you're there, you're responsive, you can help them. Like, you don't want, no one has the time to go to 10 different places to make sure that you're interacting with your customers. We want to bring it all into one spot, and the word omni.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, and at the end of the day, just like what you said, it's about personalizing that message. Like, do you want 1,000, you know, contacts where you just have their email and first name? It's going to be a very generic message that you're sending to them. The chance of them becoming a repeat customer is probably like is lessened for sure. And it's always more expensive to bring in a new customer than a repeat. So really, it's about learning your like more information about your customers and not relying on the large giants that are clamping down on that information. So if you know more about them, then you can personalize things and you can kind of take control of the funnel yourself with that first party data, as it's called.
Exactly. April makes a really good point here. Maintaining a relationship with your audience is very important for building lifelong customers. Using email is a great way to keep in touch, but try not to overspam their inboxes. Very good point, April. Too often than not, you know, we've run into situations where our customers may feel that it's appropriate to email their customers a couple times a day. And that's just going to come off as spam, and they're quickly going to hit the unsubscribe if you do that. So you have to be very thoughtful in that process and what kind of connection points make the most sense versus just, you know, is there a way that you can amalgamate the information or make sure that it's fruitful? It's not just a you need to know, like, or FYI kind of thing. Like, you have to be very thoughtful, not only in when you, how many times you're reaching out to them, but the message that you're conveying in each of those pieces as well.
Yeah, that's a great point, Stacey. Yeah. It's not just about like what you're saying on which channel, but how often you're saying it too, the content cadence, as we call it. Because some people, you know, you could be sending text messages, emails, you know, social posts you're boosting. Like, there's a lot of conversation going around, and you want to make sure that message is evolving and it's not just the same message shouted at your audience at every single level.
Exactly. All right. Let's carry on our merry way. We're kind of whipping through these, but I'm going to ask my friend Yagna to talk about social integration.
When it comes to omnichannel, like giving out omnichannel experience, it is not enough to have a website, or even if you have a great website, you cannot miss the opportunity of being present on social media. It's not just about presence. You have to be active on social media, because the thing is, people will try to reach out on you on different platforms. For example, if I've seen somewhere about handcrafted jewelry, like Courtney said, I would basically stalk the profile of on their Instagram and even Facebook for that matter, and see where are they located, what do they do, what kind of products they give out. So businesses should not miss out this opportunity where they have basically a golden chance to interact with their customers when they are. And another thing is, like, social media makes it very easy to deliver amazing customer experience. And thanks to some pretty significant updates on Facebook and Instagram, we are able to now drive sales through that with Instagram shopping and Facebook shopping as well. So this is what offers a seamless interaction with your clients and customers, for that matter.
For sure. That's 100%, Yagna. I think that makes sense. So much. And it's like, we don't necessarily even just mean social media as, oh, hey, Dan.
That you're late.
No problem. But social, we don't mean just having an Instagram account or just posting on it. Like, there are actual shopping e-commerce integrations on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. All these platforms have been doubling down on this element for the last few years now, and will only continue to do that. So when we say integrate, we mean like actually set up your Instagram shop, have shoppable posts and links through, so that you can start driving actual sales instead of just traffic from Instagram and other social channels.
I mean, a couple things go into this. You don't need to be on every social channel, first of all. I think a lot of small businesses may make that, I don't want to say mistake, but because you don't know what you don't know, but they might just assume that that's what you need to do. I'm on social, that means I've got my Twitter, I've got my Facebook, I go through them all, but you don't need to. What you need to do is you need to go back at the step one at your customer journey, understand where your customers are, and then fish where the fish are. So if I know that a lot of my customers are on Instagram, boom, let's do it. Invest into that and really go hard with your Instagram social strategy. Like Courtney was just mentioning, it's evolved so much, even over the last year, where it's not just about having your store set up on the app itself or a seamless integration, so that way you can easily make the purchase on the app itself, but it's also things like live shopping, doing live streams, exactly what we're doing right now. And it's almost like the modern day infomercial, where you can really get into, you know, the solution that that product provides and get into the perks of it, and then maybe offer a promo code to anyone who tuned into the live stream. Like, there's tons of different ways you can slice and dice it dependent on the social channel, but don't try to spread yourself too thin. That would be my number one advice.
Yes, do not spread yourself too thin, or it will not end up working, because it is, social media is a haul. There is a lot of a lot of work that goes into that, between the genuine community management and the creating valuable pieces of content that aren't all fluffy. Like, it is a time commitment for sure to build it. So you have to really decide where's the best place to put your time. Dan Durant says my Twitch account has one follower. So, sometimes if you just want to test out a channel, that's fine too. Always be testing. But keep in mind, you know, a lot of people are one person marketing teams, or a few people, or you're managing many, many channels. So like, just posting and ghosting a channel isn't going to be beneficial for you. Might as well go harder on one channel that actually could produce real results.
Exactly. April makes a really great point here too. There are different demographics and customer behaviors depending on the social channel. Mm-hmm. So start with your main channels first, then move on to the other platforms. You know, I would even argue that, let's say you have a gaming platform, or, you know, you were offering a gaming service, Twitch would probably be an ideal place to do that, you know, to really invest your time. Whereas if you have like a fashion brand, you probably are really going to want to invest in like a TikTok or an Instagram versus a Facebook or a Twitter. Like, it's just really taking the time to understand how people, like, where they are. You know, if I have something for my grandmother, I'm not going to go hard on TikTok. She's not there. She's probably on Facebook, right? Maybe Pinterest.
She's probably in a Facebook private group about knitting patterns, but maybe she's not on TikTok yet. Yeah. Not quite at that absorption level yet, that saturation.
I love you, Granny, but I know you're not on the TikToks. You're not doing the dancing. Although, did you happen to see that really cute TikTok about Dua Lipa and the grandfather? There's this 80-year-old grandfather, and he got tickets to see Dua Lipa at a concert. So Jimmy... and he brought him on anyway, and they did like a live introduction between him and Dua Lipa. It was pretty cool. I was surprised he's on there, but you go, Grandpa.
I'm sure there's some, you know, go first adopters that are on there that are, you know what I mean? Yeah, that's fine. Like, you know. But yes, definitely. That's a very helpful like decision. Like, I like to use the gaming example. Like, if you're, you know, in the gaming space, then Twitter and Twitch are going to be something you're looking at. Whereas if you're a wedding venue, you know what I mean? What are you doing on Twitch? Like, that'd be an interesting strategy. So definitely just choose what's right for you. And you can focus on those main pillar channels first, like April just mentioned in her comment. And then you can always, once those are going well, there's room for testing and layering on other things later.
Exactly. And like Dan, you make a really good point here. He said, Dan Duran wrote, I was trying to create an account on True Social, released 2 days ago, it crashed. Sometimes these new social channels, it's kind of like buying a new car, or like buying a car that just came out. You never buy a car the first year. Maybe this is just something that's said in my house because my husband works at Toyota, but you want to give it time to see where it's going to go. There's been so many other apps, I can't even think of them. Byte, I think, was one that was trying to like run off of the momentum that TikTok had. I don't think it did anything, right? So, you know, it's great to be there and be present, but like you said, you don't want to post and ghost, and sometimes these guys are just a fad, right? So you got to kind of wait and see type of thing.
Well, I find the problem with trying to race to be on every channel at once is you end up sacrificing the strategy.
Exactly.
Because like, time is the bane of every marketer, right? Like, that's our constant competitors. How much time do you have? Like, that idea looks amazing, but do you have the time to actually see it through and make it successful? So,
yeah. All right. Let's get to point number five. All right. This is something our friend Yagna does almost every day.
Yes.
Take it away, Yagna.
Okay, so when it comes to omnichannel experience, again, paid advertising and basically retargeting your audience is one of the most crucial thing that you can do to successfully create that seamless and personalized experience. And here we follow the framework of see, think, do, and care, which basically means that first step is see, where you are creating brand awareness for your audience. And this can be done in two ways. For example, you can either use Google Ads or implement Facebook Ads, which definitely goes in different directions, because in Google Ads, basically you are searching something. For example, again, handcrafted jewelry. I'm searching for handcrafted jewelry and I saw the first ad of, let's say Honeypot Marketing, let's say Honeypot Jewelries, for example. So that is what Google Ads do, but it is also a one touch point for brand awareness. And other is for Facebook Ads, where somebody is placing their ads into my feed and I'm seeing that and I'm like getting interested into that. So that is for the C framework. And then it comes to the think and do, where I'm basically thinking about those products and somewhere in the middle, and I'm getting again I'm getting touched by the e-commerce store or the business on Instagram or Snapchat or Pinterest for that matter. So I'm really thinking about those products, and then doing is like basically I'm willing to purchase or I'm almost convinced to purchase those products. So a lot of factors go into this paid advertising. And finally, the step is of care or remarketing, where basically generating loyalty for your brand. And if I bought a one product from your business, you might want me to interest in something else as well, which might suit me or which might interest me. So that is basically what remarketing does. It allows you to bring or generate loyalty for your customers in that place.
Well done.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm going to make a Christmas list for Yagna. Handcrafted jewelry next year.
I like jewelry.
So basically this is your funnel, if you will. So you want to make sure that the C part is your brand awareness, your think part is offer something of value, something that is going to entice your users or your potential customers to want to learn more about your brand. And the do is when you ask for that first date, right? That's when you ask for the buy, that's when you ask for the sale. And then care is basically the customer service portion. You want to make sure you're nurturing those leads that you've already developed. Maybe if you're a return customer, you give them a promo code. Like, you want to make sure that you're always nurturing them. I think what it's important to understand that a lot of people miss the think part of the equation. They go right from the see. Okay, see me.
Buy me.
Now buy. And it's like, Now, how would you say, Courtney and Yagna, this would pertain to the types of ads that you would serve? Do you think that someone should go directly into like a Google Ads framework, or should they do a little bit of both that and Facebook, or should they just focus on the social boosting and advertising, or what are your thoughts on that?
If I can just give like a specific example, because people selecting formats for their ads is often something that's a bit of a pet peeve of mine, because people are often like still in the frame of mind of like, create this graphic and run it on all the channels, but like, as an example, if there's an online store that sells dresses, formal wear, and I don't know this brand, I've never seen them, but I see I'm flipping through my stories, and I see an Instagram story properly sized to be a story, and it's a woman walking down a lovely looking street in a lovely dress, and there's like a shop that buy this look, link right there. I could click on that, like it's very enticing, it's appealing from an aesthetic level. That's, you know, very like you can have it be buy or you can have it like an inspiration or something like that. But that type of ad is going to look very different from if I've already gone through, I've purchased this dress, I'm an existing customer of theirs. And like next week I'm on Instagram and then I see a carousel ad where it's multiple images I can click through. And perhaps it's other items I viewed on their site but didn't purchase. I just purchased the one dress. Like you have enough information about me to be able to do that and close that kind of a sale. And I'm like, oh yeah, I left that in my cart. I do really want that. I'm going to buy it. Like that's what we mean when we talk about these remarketing ads and looking at where this person is in that omni-channel funnel.
Exactly. Like you can create your ad structures too to be like, this ad is purely for brand awareness. I just want to get my name out there. I want people to know who I am. Then the second, you know, ad can be the think part. Okay, I'm not asking for the buy, but I'm getting you to think. And then so I'm showing you different variations of the dress, just using your example, that might be available, right? And maybe the fabric is light because it's great for summer, you know, and that's appealing. It looks awesome. It's light for summer. I'm going to be outside all day because, you know, it's a wedding, you know, great. And then the do is that when you take the people that actually have interacted with your see and your think, and you market to them to ask for the sale, because you're not now asking a sale from a cold audience. You're asking it from someone who is aware of who you are and knows the value you bring to the table.
For sure. Yeah, I agree. And that, and it allows you to introduce a different tactic. Like perhaps I looked at that dress and I was like, $80. I don't want to spend that. But then I've looked back at that like three times, and you could run an ad for like anyone who's looked at this product page 2+ times. And perhaps this time you're offering them like a, you know, 5% on their next purchase and free shipping when they purchase the dress, you know, a little enticement, or perhaps you're offering them a discount on a bit of a bundle, some shoes with it or a purse or whatever it may be. It just, it gives you a lot more flexibility with what the offer is. And I don't know if you guys would agree with this, but I find a lot of people put a lot of time and money into the acquisition part. Like you said, the C part and the do, especially, it's all about the buy.
Yeah.
But the care, you said think doesn't get talked to, like focused on, neither does the care a lot of time, honestly.
No.
And that's the retention. You know, people get caught up with getting new people in the door, but don't forget about the people who already bought from you or the people who are your highly engaged audience. Things like flash sales and other things like that.
Yeah. Or, you know, a loyalty discount or something of that nature. I feel like
the loyalty program.
I feel like the only time they actually get into the care part is when they want a review. And it's a little bit self-serving, right? Like, I get it. It helps and it grows your business. And we all love a great review. But, you know, it's kind of like asking me to buy something. You haven't talked to me in, like, weeks. And then all of a sudden you're like, give me a review. Well, you know, what's the incentive?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because it's like you fought so hard to get this person into your system, like continue to speak to them. Like, yeah, not just from a review perspective, but, you know, like from a marketing perspective, this contact is very valuable. You know, that's going to be your custom audience when you're targeting on Facebook and things like that, too. So, like, I don't know. I just feel like people should really treat their first party data and contacts like gold.
Oh, 100%, 100%, especially with all the restrictions we've been talking over the past couple of lives, you know, and the privacy pieces that are coming down the pipe, and Android just launched it. I mean, first party data is where it's at. So they are essentially your nuggets of gold. All right, Pippa has something
That's
here.
A funny comment.
Like those people. Then they're all of a sudden it's like, you know, they're trying to sell you. What's that thing that they had? LuLaRoe. I think they had that on Discovery Network. Yeah. I had a couple of people like that. I haven't seen you in ages. Now you want me to buy leggings? What?
No. Yeah, and it's the same for your content strategy too. If you're just talking about me all the time, and then all of a sudden you have a product to sell and you wonder why there's no engagement on that post, it's like, well, you know, why would they be here otherwise?
I'm super fabulous. Why aren't you buying anything from me? It's like, what am I getting in return? You know, offer them value. all the time. So, sure. All right. Look at us. We're right on time. And Yagna, why don't you wrap it up for us today?
Okay, sure.
I'm just putting you on the spot. Because Courtney and I, we tend to be over like, boom, 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 right? We want to make sure you have time.
Yeah, no worries. So because we are in such an era that where everything is like everywhere and people are almost everywhere, omnichannel experience and creating an omnichannel strategy will not only strengthen your marketing funnel, but it would also help you to grow your business, because basically you are bringing on a chance to again meet your customers, interact with your customers, and basically not only create brand awareness as well, but also generate sales. So it is really important that some point or later you will have to create an omnichannel experience. That is for sure.
Absolutely.
100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you may already have all these channels, and it may just be a matter of connecting them and just strengthening the way that they fit into the stages of your funnel. So most people have social accounts, have a store, things like that. So just think about where they fit into the pieces of the puzzle.
Yeah. You can always be optimizing, always looking for ways to streamline and really make sure that you're investing your energy on social channels and email marketing and your website in a way that is going to be impactful versus trying to, saying about trying to boil the ocean? Yeah, you don't want to do that. You can't.
Exactly.
It's pretty big, man. Like, good luck.
And it can be hard because the messaging, from us marketers is sometimes like, you have to be on TikTok. You have to be on this. Oh, yeah. You're not trying this new tool? So like, I get it. It is that pressure kind of to be everywhere. But I think you need to be confident in your strategy. You know what you're doing, your strategy and what works for you. There might be a new shiny new channel that pops up. Maybe you test it out, but be confident in your strategy and your information about your customers.
Boil the ocean.
Boil the ocean. There
you go. Yeah, yes, boil.
Please don't.
Don't. Save the fishes and the turtles. No straws. Sorry, that's a hippie in me. Dan would be laughing right now if he was here. Okay, well, we really appreciate everybody showing up this week and learning these five steps. We hope that they help you optimize moving forward. And as always, thanks for joining. Do you guys have any plans this weekend?
Not really, not much. I don't know. This is a unexpected time. This is a rare finishing before 5 p.m. I have all night now.
I know. We're like 3 minutes under. We're doing amazing. I am doing my taxes, everyone. I hope everybody's super excited by that. I know I am, but I'm joking.
Taxes and a bottle of wine.
Oh, yeah. Stat. In 2.2 seconds. No, I'm joking. Okay, well, everybody have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week on Live at the Hive. Don't forget to hit the like and subscribe button, and have a great weekend. Peace.
Bye, everyone. Bye.